From legendary locals we all know to people you should get to know. Follow Ipswich Today on your favourite app and never miss an episode. Or go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Coming up, first-time councillor Andrew Fechner is aiming for a second term in Ipswich City Council Division 3 and is being challenged by two Greens candidates. In this episode, his reaction, significant achievements, other key issues facing the city, and why he is running again. It's Monday, March 11, 2024, and I'm Alan Roebuck. Welcome to Ipswich Today, which acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which it is produced and pays respects to elders past, present, and emerging. This podcast is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. Thank you for speaking with Ipswich Today, Andrew Fechner.
Absolutely my pleasure, Alan. Thank you.
As a first-term councillor, how would you describe the last 4 years?
The 4 years has gone pretty quickly. There's been a lot to learn, particularly in the post-administration world of Ipswich City Council. But I've, maintained positivity always. I think that, we've had so many significant challenges. We've seen COVID and, the impacts of that, spiralling inflation across the community. There's a lot of unrest out there. But there's been some really good work done by Ipswich City Council, and I'm really proud of that.
How has it been to what you imagined a councillor might do and be?
It's really a lot different than what I thought it was going to be, but at the same time, not unexpected. I kind of broke the job up into two sorts of categories. There's the front-facing stuff, which is the interfacing with community and understanding them better. And then there's the real big strategic things that we're expected to do as councillors as well. So we've had a lot of opportunity to get out there with our community and hear their concerns and advocate on those hyper-local issues. But we've also had to really think about how we want to map out the next 20 years of Ipswich as a city. So those two things have kept me extremely busy. The front-facing stuff is, the things that people would expect a councillor to be associated with. But there's a hell of a lot of reading and understanding and just being across the detail. And I think that that's really important. And it's what we should expect of our councillors in the modern age.
Well, it clearly hasn't frightened you off. You've put your hand up to run again. You had one of the shortest campaigns in 2020, along with COVID. How different is campaigning this time around?
Campaigning this time around sees us interfacing with the community a lot more. Back then, we were restricted in our movements. There were only minimal opportunities for us to get on the booth and, hawk for votes and meet the, punters. So it's been a great change up, I think. Last time we were kept away from the voters and electors, and it's been really nice to spend a bit of time on the booths all of last week and this week in the lead up to Saturday, which has been great. So very significantly different. Last time it was very much, social media heavy, trying to get the message out there to the residents. But this time around, Marnie and I have decided to get into people's letterboxes. We've sent significant amounts of collateral out so that our electors know who we are and know what we stand for, and just give them a few insights as to what we've been up to for the last 4 years.
What are residents saying to you now compared to 2020?
Residents now, I guess there's a huge portion of the community who still find it difficult to get their head around the dual councillor system and really understanding who their local elected representatives are. That was a huge change that was brought in by the state government in 2019 for the 2020 elections, and one that our community is still grappling with. I hear it every single day on the booths. Every single community catch-up we hosted last year, and we had 53 of them, we often ran into people who said that they were unaware of, who their local representative was. So there's a big challenge in that. And I often remind, our residents that there's, in Division 3, 60,000 of them and just one of me. So it's quite a difficult challenge to really get around and know and understand the issues in our community. But we've done a really good job just getting out there, hosting our mobile offices to try and see as many people as we can.
You mentioned 60,000 residents in Division 3, but is it still about 36,000 registered voters?
That's correct, yeah.
So unlike, say, Division 1, it hasn't had that massive explosion in population.
No, and I guess it was designed like that too. I mean, because there's not much growth, you know, in the middle of the city. We're all the way from Leichhardt, 1 mile down into Goodna. So the population density there has been quite static compared to others. But we have seen some significant growth, in particularly in the suburb of Collingwood Park.
What do you credit as your biggest achievement in this first term?
I think the biggest achievement is definitely mine and Marnie's ability to actually get our boots on the ground and go out into community to truly understand those local issues that are important to the everyday residents. And we really prioritise that sort of work through our office, you know, making ourselves available, phone, email, text, to try and get to the core of the issues that people face day to day. A really important role of the councillor is not necessarily just raising a service request on behalf of a resident, but we're often called to triage very complex complaints. People come to us and they're unaware of how to deal with council. They're not sure where they should be directing their query. So I guess that's what we've been doing really well. We've been helping, you know, guide the traffic in that way to ensure that people are getting the best support that they could possibly get out of Ipswich City Council.
I guess that's how people do see councillors, as a last resort port of call when issues can't be resolved with officers. What are the key issues more broadly across Division 3?
Well, some of the other big achievements, you'll be very aware of our success as the first council to tackle the waste industry head on. That's something that we initiated in our first year. We have the Waste and Circular Economy Transformation Directive, which is a mouthful, but it's been the policy direction for us to deal with the waste industry. And it's not just saying no to absolutely everything. It's better understanding what the legislative guidelines are so that we can have, you know, functioning waste operators doing the right thing in our region and on our terms rather than on their terms. And that's something that has been really important. It's seen a lot of work that is, you know, far outside the sphere of influence of local government, but it's had us forge meaningful relationships with the state government. We have a joint task force with the state government, so it is a priority for them and us to ensure, you know, compliance, you know, at that state level as well. We do what we can with our compliance officers. The state's doing what they can, and I think we've made some significant steps forward in that way because of the policy direction that we set early on. So, you know, that has been a really big issue, and it's one that we heard loud and clear coming into the 2020 election. Our residents wanted us to sort that out. And you know what? In 4 years, have we solved the problem completely? No, but we've made some really meaningful steps forward to try and change the way we do things.
Andrew Fechner, what other policies do you bring to this election campaign?
Well, as you know, I've been on the podcast before, and we have a huge focus on improving access for artists in Ipswich. So the arts community has been one that has historically felt left out of decision making. So we had the creators of Ipswich summits. We had three of them, and at every single summit, we had a call from artists to just offer more spaces for them. Council-owned infrastructure where artists are able to connect with each other. So we'll continue that work. We've got the first step underway at the moment with the new workshop space there at the old Jamie's Kitchen, with a view to inspire the community and advocate for more spaces across the city. Equally important, we're the first council to implement our sustainability strategy, which is great. It's got an ambitious target of 50% carbon reduction by 2026. We're on track to hit that. So we're setting these, you know, big goals for us, and I just want to see them through. And that's the biggest thing for me. So we've got the arts, we've got environment and sustainability initiatives, but I've also really want to continue the work in community, listening to people's concerns so that we can solve those local issues. As I speak to you today, we're rolling out some security cameras in a park down at Leichhardt, Tony Merrill Park, to try and improve safety down there, because we've had a huge problem with trail bike hooning in that park. We're working on some traffic calming initiatives in Sadler's Crossing in the wake of Queensland Rail's decision to close the Herbert Street Bridge. All these projects that we will continue to work on, will continue to advocate for our residents on, all very important for me to continue that work. And there's no better duo to do it than Councillor Marnie Doyle and myself. I think that we've proven ourselves to be a really effective team for 4 years, working really closely and supporting each other. And that's really something that's, unexplored in terms of the Electoral Commission. You know, you're having to mark one and two on a ballot paper. You want to make sure that those two people are going to work together for the betterment of not only your division, but the whole city as well.
An interesting dynamic this time is the presence of two Greens candidates. How do you think their votes will influence the outcome?
The Greens will poll well. There's no doubt about that. They've been campaigning hard on some of these issues alongside us as well. So there's, the general standard Greens vote across the city, across the state. So absolutely they'll capture those, very strong supporters of theirs, in an attempt to get elected.
You mentioned Marnie Doyle, your running mate, and you clearly do get on. You've put together a 7.5 minute video promoting your achievements in your first term. In that video, you spend nearly a minute in what sounds like a little bit of moaning about the size of the division and the loss of divisional officers under administration. Have I misunderstood your intent with those comments?
I wouldn't say moaning, but more an exercise in trying to help residents understand, the task that's been in front of us all along. A lot of people still are unaware of the dual councillor system. So it was more of an educational piece to say, here's what it once was and here's what it is now. And it's a big, big undertaking for us as well. 23 suburbs. I mean, it's really unheard of in Ipswich's history. This was a monumental change to the way that we drew our electoral boundaries. But I've also been, messaging out there that there is an opportunity to change that. If there is a will in the community, there is a will in council to ensure that we have the right form of representation for our residents. And if that means splitting the divisions back up for the quadrennial election for 2028, I am absolutely supportive of that.
So next time round with the Change Commission, you'll be making a strong submission. Would you want 8 councillors or 10 councillors?
I guess that will have to be explored, as we, as you understand, we have to do a business case to support a position of change. But I guess that will come out. We'll have to analyse how many residents and how many suburbs and what that mix actually looks like. So not making any commitments, whether it be 8 or 10, it's just trying to get better representation for our resident.
If you're successfully re-elected, Andrew, what changes would you like to see in the running of committee and council meetings, if any?
I quite like the way that the committees are structured now. I think that it's an opportunity for a new council to put their fresh stamp on what that might look like rolling forward. I do hope that committee structures are continued and taken forward. There needs to be a cleaning up of the media policy just to make the roles and responsibilities a little bit clearer. But I love having those champions for, different aspects of council business. I think that that's important to put a face to the name, someone there that is advocating in those budget discussions when it comes to those core service areas of council.
Since live streaming was introduced, many more eyeballs are actually seeing council meetings for the first time. And the relations between councillors is sometimes a bit tense, a few frustrations clearly on show. How can this be improved?
I don't think that frustrations with each other is necessarily a bad thing, as long as we're exploring those in meaningful ways and meaningful debates to resolve those issues. And I believe that's, we've been working towards that. In terms of improving it, councillors, coming together more often and really having time to flesh out these issues is something that's really important. I don't think that we've spent, a great deal of time really exploring each other's strengths and weaknesses and any high-performing team. I mean, we're essentially the board for the city needs to get around a table and understand how we all work. And there's many different ways that you can do that. So I look forward to, more positivity being injected into that and more ideas being challenged and fleshed out and really extending the role of those committee chairs to champion some really good ideas that they might have and work those through. There's nothing better than being able to have it streamed publicly. It really goes to show the democratic processes and the ideas and the aspirations of the elected group, which I think, could be highlighted a lot more.
If I can just raise a couple of specific issues, some of which you had a say, others you didn't. One is the issue of the 40-kilometre speed limit in the CBD. I keep hearing about this, not good things, and I experience it myself. Are you in favour of this continuing, or should it be reversed, especially in Limestone Street?
Well, understanding the decision was made by a group of professionals from different levels of government, including the Queensland Police Service, I support the recommendations of that panel. This is the same panel that decides where 40-kilometre-hour speed zones happen outside of schools as well. So I'm supportive of that change.
During your 4 years, you've been vocal in council meetings about the amount of funding council approves for Ipswich Show Society, and on at least one occasion you proposed a reduction which did get voted through. This has traditionally been approved by whatever council officers recommend. How come you've been scrutinising the Show Society so closely?
I think you'll find that the officer's recommendation was the one that I was championing. There was a push by the mayor to actually increase the funding for the Ipswich Show Society. So we have an internal panel within council that assesses all of these applications and applies the policy fairly and equitably. So, you know, that is exactly what I was championing, those professional recommendations to ensure that we have equity when it comes to our event sponsorship program.
I've asked a few councillors this next question several times over the last 4 years. What's your view of the Office of Independent Assessor?
As someone who in the early days had a lot to do with the independent assessor with some frivolous complaints made against me, it's always, daunting, and sometimes you think that people could be weaponising it for political intent. We hope that the reforms that have been passed associated with the Office of the Independent Assessor at the end of last year work through so that it performs its function as intended to ensure that they're holding elected representatives to account. So I'm not here to say we need to abolish the Office of the Independent Assessor. Can they be doing things differently? Yes. And have they started doing things differently? Yes. So we'll see those changes roll out, but definitely something to keep an eye on to ensure that the complaints that are being made, you know, are made in good faith and ones that are keeping us accountable rather than for spurious reasons.
On that note, Andrew Fechner, thank you so much for speaking with Ipswich today.
My pleasure, Alan. Thank you so much.
And that's it for this episode. Just a reminder to look for handy links in the show notes. Ipswich Today is supported by Kinetics, people-powered web hosting trusted by Australian businesses since 1999. This podcast is listener-supported. Please make a once-only gift or regular donation to help keep it online. Just go to ipswichtoday.com.au. Follow and stream this podcast from your favourite app, including iHeartRadio, or play Ipswich Today on smart speakers. Music is supplied by Purple Planet Music. This is Alan Roebuck. Thank you for listening. Enjoying Ipswich Today? Please share the love on your socials.